CITR 101.9 FM presents News 101, Vancouver's volunteer-produced student and community newscast. Now, here's your host, Rita Farkas.
Good evening. Coming up on the program, Mayor Sam Sullivan asks people to turn off their lights. And Van Ock is asking for volunteers for the 2010 Olympics. We'll have all this plus sports and your five-day weather forecast coming up this half hour right here on News 101. But first, this evening, we continue with our series of interviews of the Vancouver Quadra by-election candidates. As you may know, four ridings across the country will be holding a by-election in March to fill positions in Parliament. On July 27th of last year, Stephen Owen resigned from Parliament, leaving Vancouver Quadra seat open, the seat that includes UBC in its riding. The by-elections are being held on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. And today we've got Conservative Party candidate Deborah Meredith here with us to tell us a little bit more about her campaign. So, Deborah, can you start off by just telling listeners a little bit about who you are?
Well, I'm a lecturer in the Sauder School of Business. So I teach commercial law and land law to commerce students. And I've had that job for the past 27 years.
Okay.
So I've taught probably 10,000 undergraduate students.
Here at UBC for the
last
27?
Here at UBC,
wow.
Yep.
So you may be the first candidate that we've interviewed that has quite a close connection with students in the sense that you're a professor. Because we're speaking about students and how they relate to candidates, how do you feel like that maybe helps you to relate to what students are facing, student voters in particular?
Well, I see hundreds of students every day, so I interact on a daily basis, and I have some idea about what their concerns are and what the demands on their time are, and financial pressure and job pressure and all the pressures that students face.
So one of the issues we've been talking to candidates about, of course, is student debt, and I'm wondering what your comments are about that or what you feel the Conservative Party, how they approach student debt across the country.
Well, it's certainly a concern, and it's a concern to students. I think the Conservative Party's done a really good thing with stopping taxation of scholarships for students. And I know I had one student come to me a couple of weeks ago who said that she would vote for the Conservative Party purely on the basis of the fact that her scholarships aren't taxed anymore. She said it's been a huge benefit to her.
Wow. Okay. So do you get a lot of students saying to you, like, what does the Conservative Party do, or how are they going to help me with this $30,000 debt I've got?
Well, I think in the commerce faculty, students are pretty fiscally conservative. A lot of them are stringing out their degrees a little bit, maybe turning a four-year degree into a five-year degree so that they can work, and a lot of them are very, very good at managing their time so that there's an awful lot that have part-time jobs, and they seem to cope.
Okay, and moving on to the issue of affordable housing, of course, that's another issue that students are facing. We do have a shortage in the Lower Mainland in general, a lot of renters face, but students, I think, also are further sort of faced with this issue. What are your comments about that?
Well, I'm certainly awfully sympathetic, and it's something that worries my own children. You know, how will they ever be able to afford to live in the Lower Mainland? But I have to say that I thought the same thing when I was their age, and, you know, things have worked out, and I just hope that it will work out for them. So as far as students go, students coming up from out of town, that's huge, tremendous financial pressure on them. And it makes education so much more expensive. So you want a range of options available for students in different communities so that they can receive post-secondary education in their own communities. If they choose to come to Vancouver, they can get the kind of financial help that they need. My kids have friends who've come from Ontario, and some of them survive on scholarships, some of them have jobs, some of them are racking up students' loans, but they seem to be coping, and they seem to be having a good time. And, you know, the value of a university education in the long term has been, you know, well substantiated. So I don't see a tremendous amount of worry there.
So a lot of people do criticize the Conservative government now because they're in power for not doing enough to, you know, assist this issue of affordable housing, despite the fact that a lot of it has to do with provincial politics. What do you respond to with that?
Well, the Conservative government is putting money into social housing. And so then I guess the question is, what do you do about that? Do you just subsidize people who need housing, or do you build housing, and which is the most efficient use of money? And then which level of government do you want doing that?
Okay. Moving on to the environment, this is something we've also been talking to candidates about. How do you think students, I guess if you can generalize students, how do you think they approach their concerns about the environment, and how do you feel about the environmental issues we're facing?
I think it's a varying degree of concern to different groups of students. Mm-hmm. There's no uniformity there, but I listen to my own children, and right. I think they are very concerned about the environment, and I'm certainly very sympathetic to that. But, you know, I have to say that I'm confident that we're going to be able to cope with those problems. I don't have the level of worry that some younger people do. You know, when I was younger, the concern was acid rain or it was depletion of the ozone layer, and largely we've come to terms with those things. Mm-hmm. And I'm confident that we'll be able to come to terms with them.
Sorry, continue on.
You know, I don't think governments should be making commitments they don't intend to keep.
Right. Okay. So you feel then that the position that the Conservative government is pretty apt because it's something that they can keep. They can sort of work on minimal levels of industrial pollution, et cetera. But other than that, it's sort of up to people to shape up.
Well, the way that we largely came to terms with the acid rain problem and depletion of the ozone layer is with mandatory regulation. So mm-hmm. you establish something, you get industry input to know that it's realizable, you establish targets that are realistic, and then industry competes to meet those targets. And so acid rain and depletion of the ozone layer have largely been solved that way, and that's the Conservative government's approach to carbon dioxide emissions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving on to the actual campaign, what can you tell me about the campaign this year? Is this your first time running in a federal campaign?
It's my first time running at all. Okay. And what I tell people is I never run before, but then I've never lost.
Right.
So I've got a pretty good record. So this is all new to me, and it's pretty exciting.
Right.
It's something that I've gone through over the last 15 months, and I never anticipated it would last that long because I had a hotly contested nomination for the Conservative candidacy, which I really started in on about a year ago last November. So it's been going on and on and on. And it's a tremendous amount of work, but it's a tremendous opportunity, and it's great fun.
Mm-hmm. So why did you decide to run with the Conservative Party?
Well, I've been a Conservative for decades. You know, I voted Liberal when I was in my late teens, and I worked for Trudeau, but then so many of us did. I rejected the nanny state, and I really do believe in personal responsibility, smaller government, efficient use of our tax dollars. So that's what turned me into a Conservative. Mm-hmm. So I have Conservative philosophy and Conservative principles.
Another thing that's interesting about this campaign is that there are so many female candidates in this riding. I'm wondering if you have any suggestion as to why that may be.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's quite interesting.
It is. It's great. And, you know, the Conservatives have a lot of female candidates in the Lower Mainland. Mm. There's me in Vancouver Quadra. There's Wei Young in Vancouver South, who's a Chinese-Canadian. Yana Martin in New Westminster Coquitlam, who's a school teacher, Korean-Canadian. And if she's elected to Parliament, she'll be the first Korean-Canadian elected to Parliament, period. And then there's Alice Wong in Richmond. So, and we've all come up through the democratic process, through the grassroots.
Right.
We've received nominations, and we haven't been vaulted into candidacies. So I think that's a tremendous sign. And I'm really proud of the Conservative Party for that being the case.
Yeah.
But I'm proud of my fellow candidates, and to have Rebecca Code with the NDP Party, who's a student at UBC, I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a lot of variety here in this campaign.
Oh, it's great, yeah. Poor old Dan Grace with the Green Party being the only male, he must be kind of lonely.
Right, he's getting kind of surrounded by women.
Yeah.
Okay, and also tell me a little bit about any of the key issues in your campaign personally that maybe stick out for you.
Well, I'm listening. I've done a tremendous amount of door knocking, and I'm listening to what people are telling me, and crime is a huge issue in Vancouver Quadra. When I originally came in, people said crime is not such a big issue in Vancouver Quadra, but it is, and I'm certainly hearing from people about it. You know, it's not only property crime, but violent crime as well. Within a space of about a week in November, I just remember because we had the Minister of Justice out to talk to our constituency. Within that 1 week, there were 3 gang-related murders right in Vancouver Quadra, and that's a shock to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people say, oh, well, gang members killing gang members, maybe that's a good way to get rid of them, but I think that's an appalling attitude because those people have families, and those families are the victims. If we're caught in the crossfire, we're the victims, and I just hate the callous disregard for human life and safety that engenders. These may be gang members, but, you know, what a horrible end and what a horrible life.
So that's something that you would like to take to Parliament, then, an issue that is sort of specific to the Vancouver Quadra riding.
I think it's a real concern to Vancouver Quadra. Mm-hmm. And property crime, repeat petty crime offenders It offends people, and it's a huge concern. It affects us all. If it not directly, it affects us in terms of our insurance premiums.
Mm-hmm. And are there any other key issues for your campaign in particular?
Well, smaller government, lower taxes, less regulation. We want our tax dollars spent efficiently so that we have timely access to excellent health care, because especially for me and my generation, that's going to be an increasing concern.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's...
And it's going to be a concern for you, because you're going to be paying for us.
Right. That's a student issue.
Mm-hmm. It should be a student issue.
Do you think there's going to be an election soon?
Well, I really don't like to comment on these things anymore, because half the people say they're absolutely sure there's going to be an election, and half the people say they're absolutely sure there's not going to be an election. I was absolutely sure there was going to be a by-election before Christmas, and look what happened.
Right.
So, I mean, one of the really attractive things of being involved in politics is you never know what's coming around the corner, and there are few things in life that are that unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. So that's appealing to you. That's good.
Oh, yeah. I think it's great. And, my sister is a civil servant in Ottawa, and she said that's why, that's what gets people's adrenaline going about being involved in government, is you just can't predict the future.
Great. So if there are listeners who would like to learn more about you, where can they learn more about you?
Oh, good question. Well, they can get in touch with me.
Mm-hmm.
The number of my campaign office is 733-0701. So there they can ask for access to my website or send me an email or whatever. And I'd be pleased to talk to them. And I'm here on campus, too. So if students want to come and see me, come on.
Right.
Love to talk to them.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much for coming in this afternoon.
And thanks, Rita, very, very much. It's been fun to talk to you.
Good. So don't forget, everybody, the election is coming up, St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. And get on the email and on the websites and find out more about how you can register to vote if you haven't already done so. We're going to go now to a quick PSA break, and we'll be back with local and provincial news.
On Friday, February 22nd, 2008, at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre, CITR 101.9 FM and Live Nation are proud to present Xavier Rudd. A major talent and multi-instrumentalist, Xavier plays guitars, tongue drums, stomp boxes, djembes, harmonica, ankle bells and slide banjo. His songs speak of compassion, humanity, spirituality, the Aboriginal peoples of his native land, Australia, and the environment. A folk festival favourite and hugely popular in Canada, Xavier packs in armies of the faithful at his amazing shows. Don't miss Xavier Rudd live at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre on Friday, February 22nd, brought to you by Live Nation and CITR 101.9 FM.
In these times where paranoia closes in, power and hate around raging disease.
Well, some of the counties in Florida, evidently there were some questionable voting procedures, and those ballots are being recounted.
The Graduate Student Society is pleased to announce the opening of nominations for GSS Elections 2008.
The UBC Graduate Student Society represents and advocates on behalf of all UBC graduate students to the university, the government, and the public.
We provide academic, professional, social, and recreational services to our members.
The nomination closes February the 8th. So hurry up and file your nominations. You can vote online at Student Service website. Voting starts February 15th.
For more information, please visit www.gss.ubc.ca.
Who did you vote for?
The UBC Ski and Snowboard Club is a non-profit, democratic, student-run organization dedicated to promoting the sports of skiing and snowboarding and the associated lifestyle.
We endeavor to make skiing and snowboarding accessible and fun by actively seeking out the best deals and discounts for our members, as well as organizing trips to local ski areas and setting up numerous social events.
Come on one of our legendary trips and explore the glory of riding in British Columbia. Or join us at the bar to discover the true meaning of debauchery. Ask your roommate, ask your parents, ask the RCMP. Who has the most fun at UBC? You'll get the same answer. The Ski and Snowboard Club.
Duh. Joining the Ski and Board Club is easy. Come by our office, sub 115, anytime with some money to become a member. Your membership gives you access to all the deals offered by our sponsors, cheap beverages at our parties, an invitation to all club events, and of course, only members can come on the trips.
This is News 101, and the current time is 5:16 p.m. Now, with a look at local and provincial news, we're joined in studio by News 101 reporters Carrie Baptist and Leanne Yu.
More residents of the downtown east side will have to find a new place to live in the future. Two more residential hotels in the downtown east side have handed out eviction notices to residents. The building at 334 Carroll Street and the Backpackers Inn on Hastings have both notified residents that they will have to find a new place to live. The two buildings will be renovated into condos. Unfortunately, many of the residents of these two buildings are low-income or disabled, making relocation difficult.
If you're interested in getting up close and personally involved with Vancouver's 2010 Olympics, why not volunteer? Vancouver's Olympic Committee will be accepting volunteer applications starting tomorrow. About 25,000 volunteer opportunities are available, including airport greeters, ski race starting gatekeepers, and even some positions to keep watch over the Olympic flame at BC Place. Vanock's Donna Wilson says that aside from the athletes, volunteers are the most vital part of the Olympic Games. Volunteers run the games, and without them, there would be no Olympics.
That's right, Leanne. Vanock says they're looking for committed, flexible, and enthusiastic people to help out behind the scenes during the 17 days of the games, and there's a wide variety of volunteer positions. The committee needs volunteers who can assist while athletes are going through the drug testing process. Also, they'll need some very technical volunteers that require familiarity with starting gates. Volunteers will get a chance to see the games from behind the scenes and watch some games in person, and they get to keep their Olympic uniforms after the games. If you want to volunteer, visit Vancouver2010.com.
And it's now time for another quick break here at CITR, but stay tuned for more news following these public service announcements.
Just when you've started wondering where all the cabaret dancers have gone to, they've reappeared to showcase their moves for the purpose of a cause during a night of riveting performances.
Girls on Top Risqué Cabaret presents Varieties!
Varieties is a soulful fundraiser for victims of violence and survival sex trade workers.
Special guests, burlesque divas, Diamond Minx, Darla Devine, singer Vanessa Maximilian, and host Bridgie Kay.
Varieties promises to be a night full of sassy ladies, jaw-dropping performances, and good old-fashioned debauchery.
Be sure to check out this unique event, happening Friday, February 15th at the Mirage Nightclub in Surrey. Tickets available in advance at clubvibes.com or at the door. Doors are at 8 and the show is at 10. All net profits go directly towards the cause.
For more information, contact Girls on Top Risqué Cabaret.
February 20th, tune in all night long for the Homelessness Marathon on CITR.
Why do a nationwide homelessness marathon?
Because homeless people should have access to the media where they can freely speak out. Because it is the homeless who are best able to educate people on the issue of homelessness.
This 14-hour broadcast will begin at sunset on Wednesday, February 20th, and continue through sunrise the next day in front of the Native Friendship Center of Montreal.
This year, more than 30 stations are carrying the Homelessness Marathon. For more info, visit www.citr.ca.
To participate, dial 1-866-763-4136. Call toll-free.
They say you don't want people giving you too much?
No, well, you don't want to see, like, when you panhandle, people like you to come up with some clever kind of saying. And it's really unique, because every individual's got what's going to make them laugh, and you may not even understand why they're laughing.
What is that? I know what that is. That's music.
For $15, the Friends of CITR card scores you in-store discounts at Beat Street, Red Cat, Vinyl, Scratch, and Audio Pile. Support Vancouver's finest indie radio station and pick up your card today.
What do you want to I want to rock.
This is News 101, and the current time is 5:22 p.m. Mayor Sam Sullivan is trying to get Vancouverites to turn off their lights. With more on that and other stories, here's Marie Bernard and Tracy Fuller.
Get out your candles and flashlights. Vancouver Mayor Sam Sullivan wants every Vancouver resident to turn off the lights in their home, business, and property from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday, March 29th. The Hour of Darkness will signal Vancouver's inclusion in the Earth Hour campaign, a global event aimed at raising awareness about climate change. Sullivan wants the city to be a leader in the fight to curb energy consumption worldwide and hopes that Vancouver's involvement in Earth Hour will pave the way toward the city's carbon neutral goal for the 2010 Olympic Games. While his own lights are out on March 29th, Sullivan says he will be doing something environmentally benign.
Health officials are on the lookout for passengers who hopped on a Greyhound bus from Merritt to Calgary on January 11th. The reason? They may have contracted tuberculosis. This, according to the BC Centre for Disease Control and Interior Health Authority. Greyhound bus number 1015 left Vancouver at approximately 3:45 p.m. and arrived in Merritt at 7:50 p.m. On its way, stops were made in Kamloops, Chase, Sorrento, Salmon Arm, Sicamous, Revelstoke, and Calgary. Only people who got on the bus at the Merritt stop or later are at risk. These passengers were exposed to tuberculosis during the infectious stage of the disease. Together with Greyhound, health officials are trying to contact all at-risk passengers to be tested and offered preventative treatment if necessary. However, passenger records are incomplete. Not all tickets provide full names or addresses of riders. If you or someone you know was a passenger on the bus in question, please call BC Nurse Line at 1-866-215-4700.
And directors of the Greater Vancouver Transit Authority voted to increase their own paychecks last week, a move which many regional mayors criticized. At a closed-door meeting, the board of directors approved a plan which would increase their wages to six times what the previous TransLink board earned. Each TransLink director will now make $1,200 per meeting. Under the new pay scale, Chairman Dale Parker will receive $100,000 a year. Delta Mayor Louis Jackson criticized the move, saying she doesn't think the board can justify those kinds of dollars because public officials are not in their positions to make money, but to serve the public. Burnaby Mayor Derek Corrigan agrees, saying he expects the public to be outraged by the wage increases. Former BC Premier Mike Harcourt defended the move, saying higher pay was needed to attract the type of people the committee wanted for the job.
And thank you, Marie and Tracy, for those pieces. Right now, we're going to go catch up on this weekend's athletics, UBC Athletics, that is, with Tyler Noble.
It's playoff time in Canada West University Athletics, and CITR Sports has all your UBC teams covered. We start with men's basketball, and although UBC will play host to the Fraser Valley Cascades in the Pacific Division semifinal this weekend, both squads got an early look at one another in closing out the regular season in Abbotsford Saturday night. Bryson Cool scored 18 points and Brent Malish added 12 to give the Thunderbirds an 81-62 victory. That followed a 91-85 win over the Thompson Rivers Wolfpack on Friday afternoon. UBC finished the season with a record of 18-5, good for first in the Pacific Division, while the 12-11 Cascades finished fourth. The best of three series between the two teams begins this Friday at 8 p.m., with Game 2 set for 7 p.m. on Saturday. A third game, if necessary, will go Sunday at 7, and of course we'll have the entire series for you right here on CITR 101.9 FM, with Daryl Wiener and Doug Richards calling all the action. The other Pacific Division semi sees Victoria host the Simon Fraser Clan. Playing in the final regular season game of her storied five-year career, Erica McGinnis scored 25 points and picked up 10 assists to lead UBC to a 76-65 win over Fraser Valley in women's basketball on Saturday. The win was the ninth straight for the Thunderbirds, who finished the season with a record of 21-2, second only to Simon Fraser in the Canada West Pacific Division. The Clan's only loss was an 81-62 decision to UBC on January 4th. Postseason play begins next weekend as UBC plays host to the third-place Victoria Vikes in a best-of-three divisional semifinal. Game 1 of that series goes Friday at 6 p.m. The second game is set for 5 p.m. on Saturday, with Game 3, if necessary, on Sunday at 5. Wilson Wong and Howard Samura will team up to call that series, all of which can be heard here on CITR. Simon Fraser entertains Fraser Valley in the other Pacific semifinal. After a bye through the final weekend of regular season play, the UBC men's volleyball team is a bit more rested and ready for their quarterfinal series this weekend against the Calgary Dinos. Having finished third in the Canada West standings, the Thunderbirds will host the sixth-place Dinos for a best-of-three series starting Thursday at 8 at War Memorial Gym. The two teams split their two regular season meetings back in November, with both matches decided in three straight sets. The 8-10 Dinos feature Omar Langford, the conference's third-best hitter with an average of 4.55 points per game. This is the last postseason, meanwhile, for graduating Thunderbird veterans Andrew Bonner, Matt Labordet, and Graham Siglett, all of whom have been key players in UBC volleyball over the past several years. After taking Friday off, the second match of the series goes Saturday at 2 p.m. Should a third game be necessary, first serve will go at 2 on Sunday afternoon. Jeff Sargent will provide play-by-play commentary for all of the action from War Gym, with the entire series heard here on CITR. As for the women's volleyball team, they lost their first consecutive matches of the season over the weekend as the Trinity Western Spartans swept the Birds in Langley, ending UBC's 14-match winning streak. The losses also mean the Lady Birds finish second in the Canada West, 2 points back of the Manitoba Bisons, who get the bye through the first round and will host the Conference Final Four in Winnipeg 2 weeks from now. After getting swept in straight sets Friday night, the Thunderbirds got off to a better start Saturday, taking the first set against the Spartans 25-18. But Trinity battled back, taking the second and fourth sets, sending the match to a full five. The Spartans then completed the come-from-behind victory with a dramatic 17-15 decision in the fifth. The Thunderbirds will now host the Brandon Bobcats for a best-of-three quarterfinal starting Thursday at 6 p.m. The second match goes Saturday at noon, while a third match, if necessary, is set for the same time on Sunday. And Jeff Sargent will have the call of the full women's series here on CITR as we provide wall-to-wall coverage of UBC Thunderbirds playoff action. The UBC men's hockey team failed to complete a weekend sweep of the Saskatchewan Huskies on Saturday, but did earn a split thanks to a 4-2 victory on Friday. The Huskies picked up a 3-1 win in the rematch, which was the last CIS hockey game to be played at the Father Bauer Arena. Next season, UBC's hockey teams will move to the new main rink at the Winter Sports Center that's being built for the 2010 Winter Olympics. Saskatchewan scored on their first shot of the game nearly 7 minutes into the first period Saturday when Stephen Mann picked up a shorthanded marker to put his side on the board first. The Birds responded later on the same power play when Matt Isbister capped off another scramble in front of the Huskies' goal by firing a shot through the crowd of bodies in the crease and into the net. But that's all the Birds could muster as Colin Patterson and Brent Twardik added two more for the Huskies en route to victory. Despite the Saturday loss, UBC head coach Milan Dragicevic is pleased with the play of his team heading into the final weekend of the regular season.
You know what? I'm proud of them. I thought they battled really hard. Even tonight, I thought we battled hard. The only thing that we didn't do was execute in the offensive zone. But, you know, I thought our guys played hard for two hard games. You know, we didn't execute offensively, but, you know, we took the body. And I see a lot of positive signs going into the last, well, going into the playoffs.
The Thunderbirds will open the playoffs on the road with a best-of-three quarter final in either Calgary against the Dinos or in Winnipeg against the Manitoba Bisons. And finally, in UBC baseball, the Thunderbirds' first two exhibition games of the year against St. Martin's on Friday and Saturday were canceled due to rain. So far, no makeup date has been announced. UBC's next action comes Thursday when they begin a 6-day exhibition tour of California against Fresno Pacific. And that's your Thunderbird Eye for this Monday. I'm Tyler Noble.
And thanks for that, Tyler. We're going to wrap up with meteorologist Selena Ferris with a look at your 5-day weather forecast. Selena.
A frontal system associated with the Pineapple Express will dampen the beginning of the week. Tonight, drizzle will continue on and off, turning to rain showers tomorrow. Your overnight low of 5 degrees and Tuesday's high of 8. Conditions will dry up midweek. Wednesday will be cloudy with a chance of sunny periods, and Thursday will be cloudy with a 30% chance of rain. By Friday, another system will be moving in, so expect periods of rain leading up to the weekend. That's your 5-day weather brought to you by the Storm Club at UBC. For more information, you can email us at stormubc@gmail.com.
And thank you, Selena. That's our program for February 11th, 2008. Today's newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts. And if you'd like to share your comments, give us a hot news tip, or get involved with the show, contact us. Our phone number is 604-822-5334, or you can email news@citr.ca. Megan Turcato produced this radio program. For more news, join us Friday at 5 p.m. for the next edition of News 101. For the entire news team here at CITR, this is Rita Farkas thanking you for listening. Stay tuned for Wings, coming up next on 101.9 FM CITR.
Depends on the class of D.